Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield, made by you.
Do you want to get your message heard? With low advertising rates and great sponsorship opportunities, Sheffield Live can help you reach thousands of local people. Get your campaign on Sheffield Live. To find out more about advertising on Sheffield Live, write to advertising@sheffieldlive.org or call 0114 281 4082. Do you like Sheffield Live? Why not become a friend of Sheffield Live? Sheffield Live is a community radio station, and friends of Sheffield Live are people in the community who make a regular donation to keep Sheffield Live on the air. Join the Friends of Sheffield Live by writing to friends@sheffieldlive.org or go online to sheffieldlive.org.
Hi, I'm Eddie Grant and you're listening to Sheffield Live, 93.2 FM.
This is Sheffield Live.
You're listening to Sheffield Dawn on 93.2 FM, Sheffield Live.
Evening.
Yo.
Wow, nearly get catch out again.
Evening.
Well gone, people.
Yeah, so, is there anything, sorry, kind of like, just need to remember my manners here, really, because I've got two guys in the studio with me, busy kind of like chatting and stuff. Before we kind of like go on air, so what's been happening in the sporting scene, guys? I've got G and CV, by the way, in the studio with me.
Yeah, we've just been talking about the wages in football, and then we was talking about I brought the subject up about Raheem Sterling. There was some talk about Raheem Sterling coming back to Manchester City. And basically, I just said, "Nah, we don't really need him. There's no, and as G said, is there space there for him? And there isn't no space because we've got people like Doku, we've got Savinio, we've got Grealish, we've got my young guy who at the moment is injured, Oscar. We don't really need." Raheem at all.
And why is that? Don't you think he's kind of good enough?
For City? I think the players we've already got there, I would say now are better than him.
That's an interesting synopsis, that, really. I mean, yeah, we'll stick with Sterling. I mean, our listeners might be familiar with what's going off behind the scenes at Chelsea. He's been kind of surplus to requirements, and how it came about, I thought it was shocking me. I don't know about your guys, but I thought it was absolutely shocking. It's like he's done the pre-season stuff. He thinks that he's included for the season, training all right. I believe he's played in all Chelsea's pre-season game, and then Maresco's took him to one side and said, "Why? Not really fancying you, Raheem. And you know what? We'll take back your number 7-2. And Sterling representative come out with a statement against your guys, Man City.
Yeah.
And said, we want some clarity. What's happening with Raheem?
Yeah.
And Maresco said, well, like I said, I'll kind of really repeat what I've said before, that, you know, he's not saying that Sterling's a bad player. He's just saying that he fancies a different type of player in Sterling's position. And they've took his number back and his surplus to requirements. I think it's shocking the way that's come about. I don't know about your guys. I don't know. What's your opinion on that?
Well, for me, hearing to what you guys said about it and look a story, what's been said about it, what doesn't make sense to me is like what you just said. The guy's not playing him. He's took back his shirt, but you still have to pay him his wages. And I don't understand why you want to pay a man who's on over £300,000 a week and just have him sat there watch another man kick ball. For me, if you're going to be paying him, play him.
Yeah.
It makes sense in that respect.
And like I said, the wage is over 300 grand a week. And there's still, what, 3 years left of his contract as well. So, I mean, if it was bad mind, he could say, do you know what? I'm standing firm, you know, because he's under contract for 3 years. He doesn't technically have to go anywhere. He can just stand firm.
He could do like what my man did at Man United. Who were there for ages. They finally just got rid of him. Forgot his name now. He came from Preston. I forgot his name.
Yeah.
But he was there. He'd been there for ages and not even done anything.
Defend, isn't it?
Yeah.
I can just see his face right now.
Yeah.
It'll come during the show, really. But yeah, I mean, Sterling's not the only one there at Chelsea. You've got Chigwell as well. And apparently they've offered him to Man U. But I'm not sure what's happening with that. I suppose them guys are keeping themselves kind of fit to be admitted from the starting lineup, first game of the season as well. And the timing, you know, if Chelsea didn't fancy him in the first place when Maresco took over, why didn't they just pull him up then? Why have him in your plans pre-season, involved in all the set plays or whatever they do? You know, just leading him along.
Well, for me, I'll be honest, at his age now, I mean, when his contract runs out, what will it be, something like 32, 33 or something? At that kind of age, I would stick it out, to be honest. I wouldn't be rushing to go anywhere because at 33, you're kind of near enough maybe coming into your end of your career anyway. And on that kind of money for another 2 years, I would sit my ass on the chair, no problem. I mean, if another club came and offered me a position, maybe even at a lower price rate, I would consider it. But if nobody's coming my way and I've still got the contract with them, I'm all right.
Yeah, it's a big call. And, I mean, who do you think's making these kind of decisions? Is it Maresco? Is it you know, the board, the Bali or something?
Bali, yeah.
Yeah. Are they kind of like using Maresco as a scapegoat and say, listen, we don't see any plans for Sterling, so you're the manager or the head coach, you go and tell him. And then he's had to face a fire in front of the press because, you know, press are answering questions, you know, what's happening with Sterling, and he's saying, well, I'm just making myself clear that he doesn't feature in our plans. He's saying he's not a bad player, but, you know, he's kind of like just sticking to what he says. I mean, how does that make a player like Sterling feel right now? Do you know what I mean? You know, yes, there's going to be clubs what want him.
Yeah, West Ham want him.
Whether he's wanting to go or anything, he'll get a decent wedge back because he's not put in for a transfer fee. But I mean, like I said, if I was Sterling, I wouldn't go anywhere unless it was the right club for me. And a club what he can actually win things with as well. It's not just kind of like putting on his boots and going out there, you know what I mean, on a Saturday afternoon, you know, and just like, you know, for 90 minutes.
Yeah.
There needs to be a purpose behind his move, and whether it's right for the family. He might not even fancy West Ham.
Well, to be fair, I think if he did go to West Ham, he'd have to drop his wage. They're not going to pay that wage out.
No.
I think anywhere he goes to, he's going to have to take a wage
he's
drop.
Not, you know,
he's got
they,
to.
They're not going to pay that wage.
Mm. So, I mean, what do you think Sterling should do then, really and truly? You know,
like I just said, if no club offers is coming towards you, stay where you are. Sit up on your backside and do your crossword puzzle while the players them are playing. But if a club comes to you, like CV said, if it's a decent club that can give you a little future still, if you have to take a wage drop, take it, because he's made good money out of football. You know what I mean? So take it and go and finish off your career with this other club.
And if technically he's still a Chelsea player, so I presume that he might have match day duties. He might have to be with the rest of the squad or something. I don't think Chelsea would be that kind of numb to say, well, you know, you can do what you want, your time's your own, because he's still an employee, he's still getting paid as we speak right now. unless something drastically happens behind the scenes. And like what we said, you know, I agree with what your guys are saying about, I can't see a club matching them kind of dollars apart from Saudi. You know, that could be an option.
Yeah.
And maybe that's in Chelsea's plans, because they know that no other Premiership club's going to come in and pay that kind of cash. So whether they're kind of like, you know, putting bait out there to Saudi and saying, got a player here. What? Stick some millions on this and he's yours.
What I was saying is, I don't know who's created this, I don't know, about Man City interested in him, because now I can't see City wanting him back.
Mm.
I just cannot see them wanting him back. To me, I know people might say, well, you took Gundogan back, but Gundogan, you can see what he got him.
He's a different type of player as well, in different position, isn't it?
But Sterling, nah.
I mean, you know, that could be just like, it could even be his agent steering stuff up, you know what I mean? You know, because they will have an interest in what happens as well. Because they'll be collecting dollars as well as Sterling.
Sterling has reported and said, he's happy at Chelsea.
All right, that's good.
He has said that. He said he's happy at Chelsea. You know, he doesn't have a problem with Chelsea.
So why move then? He's got nowhere to go then.
It's my man.
Yeah, but
he's
now coming, isn't he? The board and the manager. Yeah, they're kind of like it's like a forced sale, isn't it? Really, you know what I mean? But yeah, I think the way they're going about their business. I'm not sure if your guys heard that as well, because the question whether Marisco was kind of ruthless, and he kind of like was saying, well, if your guys put me down as that, then so be it, really. That was his kind of like attitude to that kind of question. But, I mean, whatever happens to Sterling, wherever he ends up, whether he stays or whether he gets, you know, a move to another club before the window shuts at the end of the month, I believe. So the clock's ticking, and I think we'll keep an eye on that one. We listen to Sweet Talking Sport. I've got G and CV here with me on this Friday evening. Sev Goran Eriksson, ex England manager. He's got cancer, he's terminally ill right now. And quite a few ex-players have been saying their goodbyes to Sev. You know, I mean, Sev was the first foreign manager to take over the reins at England, 76. Given 12 months to live, medical staff are saying they're unable to operate on him. Like I said, the first foreign manager to run England. Took him to the quarterfinals in 2002 and 2006, and the Euros 2004. So Sev, I mean, what are your thoughts on Sev?
I think he did good for England. Like you said, he was the first foreign manager. He achieved something that not even our own English managers could achieve with England, whatever else. So, yeah, I think he did all right for England. Because I know when he was first taken over, there was a lot of talk about with him being foreign, do we want a foreign manager at the end of the day? But he did his job, and he did well by the country, by the team and everything else. So it's a shame to hear now where he is in life, but, you know, it's a life goal.
Yeah, it's true. I remember that. It's a good point. Like, people were saying, yeah, we don't want no foreign manager running our side. You know what I mean? We just need to keep it English.
Keep it real.
Yeah, you know? But, I mean, he's the sixth most successful England manager. 59.7% win ratio, which ain't bad for the first England boss. But He did have a kind of other side to him, didn't he, Seth? He got into trouble after
the pitch. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Me with him, like, what should he have done? Yeah, I know what her name was.
Eureka.
Eureka Johnson.
Yeah. He kind of got a penalty, didn't it? You know what I mean?
A penalty and Nirenov got a red card as well, my friend.
And, you know, but to, yeah, Sev, to his credit, to his credit, this is what Sev had to say about that. Yeah. All right, he's being a bit stupid. Yeah. I hear that. And he said that, you know, he's not committed a criminal offence. You know what I mean? So, you know,
so the problem is there, whatever else, the media, the papers will always drag up your personal life and bring it into your work environment. What he was doing with Eureka, whatever else, that's nothing to do with us, whatever else, but he got dragged into it. And maybe because of who she was as well.
He was on
reputation.
Duty. The guy was on, he was on shift. Yeah? What do you mean? What? Oh. Yeah, the guy was on shift, man. Yeah. And Eureka just said, kind of messed up his family life a little bit, but, you know, I'll go back to what Sev said. It's the words of Sev. He said he's not a criminal. Yeah. You know?
Which is the truth.
No criminal offence. He's saying, hey, he's basically sticking out his chest and saying, you know, it's football, you know?
I say, I can talk about Sven, really, as in that he was a manager of City. And he, when he first come, I thought, wow, Sven Goran Eriksson. And I remember it well. I think it was 2007. He came and he brought players like the Brazilian one, the Brazilian guy who played for us. He brought two Brazilians, and he brought quite a few decent players, and we were starting to look kind of all right, to be fair, right? But then things started to go a little bit pear-shaped in the ending, and then they got and then they got rid of him. I think 2008, I think they got rid of him.
Well, so, obviously, Spence was a natural player, wasn't he?
I mean, natural player.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, we've mentioned Eureka. 2002, she was on the scene. And he also committed another foul in 2004 with Farrier. Yeah? This who was the FA secretary. You know what I mean? So, two red card for Seth. In our chest, what that?
Oh.
Bam! You know what I mean? But like I said, you know, he's saying he's not committed a criminal offence and he's being a little bit stupid.
Look,
you
man,
know what I mean?
All I can say is what a guy.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, his record, he must be very proud of his record. Now, no, please forgive me. I'm not talking about his record off the pitch. I'm talking about his record with England.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's managed some teams in Italy as well. You know, he's do you think he knows what he's doing?
Yeah, I do. I mean, at the end of the day, his football record is pristine.
Right.
Let's say.
So what kind of sets him out different from the other England managers is his record off the pitch, right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like I said, he's a player.
Yeah.
And he can't keep that under control.
Lord have mercy.
So. Yeah, if you've just tuned in, we listen to Sweet Talking Sport. We've got G and CV. And we're just discussing Sev, who's unfortunately terminally ill. You know, it's a very, very sad kind of days ahead. But, yeah, there's been a lot of tributes online from ex-players wishing him all the best, and him and his family also as well. And We're no different. We wish him all the best as well.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, Sev Goran Eriksson. What do you think he's going to be remembered, though, for? Because, I mean, we're not throwing him under the bus, yeah? We're just saying 2002 and 2004, he got two red cards, yeah? And they were big red cards. But, you know, put that to one side, and his win ratio, you know,
is 59.7%. And I suppose, you know, for the next England managers, which is always known for one of the toughest jobs in football, is that, you know, whoever picks up the helm, they're going to be scrutinised. So, GCV, if Unoman get the England job, just, you know, I'll support you.
Yeah.
And wish you all the very best.
Right.
But I've already said, I ain't into that. You know, I've took my name out of the cap. Yeah. I'm not managing England. Yeah. So I don't want no kind of discussions. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I'll just go back to what you just said.
You said,
what would you like, say, his famous thing was done for, like, you know what, in my eyes, right, for me, he came to City
with a clean record.
Yeah, my understanding, he did, yeah,
okay.
He came to City,
I'm hearing you.
And I would say, he was the first manager for about 40 years to where City did the double on Man United.
Okay.
We, for 40 years, hadn't done the double on Manchester. Never, double, I'm not talking about double. We was just glad to get a draw. But
that he started to change the team.
That year, he come. We beat them 1-0 at our place. And then we beat them 2-1 at their place. And that was the first time we'd beaten Man United for over 30-something years. Right? 40 years for us to do the double on them. So that, to me, is what I remember him for. Never mind discussion about Arika Johnson. It don't matter. Well,
I think anytime you kind of manage, you know, these kind of like things are going to probably come out of the closet. You know what it's like.
Yeah, but
you know,
Johnson's Johnson coming like baby Johnson powder. It's Johnson's Johnson, isn't it?
At the end of the day, really and truly, it's like how we're talking about him now, right? It's going to be exactly the same thing. He's going to be remembered for the career that he had and who the man was.
Mm.
But along the way, Arika and whatever else may pop up, and they're going to say something.
Farrier,
whoever she is, it's going to pop up. But at the end of the day, like, we and other people, we're going to remember him for what he did for Man U and what he did for England. That's how I know the man. The little stories what I heard on the side, I know nothing.
Yeah, and he managed City between 2007 and 2008. And like CV says, what a job Sev did also as well. I mean, just going back to the two kind of like red cards. When the FA kind of like quiz Farrier, she was just saying that Sev said, listen, just tell him nothing. Yeah, just all your corner and just say, nah, they've got it all wrong. And she kind of felt pressured, you know, but I'm just saying that I hope it wasn't like that with the players, really, you know, because, like, you know, we've kind of like seen online, well, some of us have seen online the way kind of like, say, Vincent Kompany rules his plays, for example.
Yeah.
And I'm just hoping that Sev took it nice and easy on Farrier when he was just saying, yeah, just please don't tell the FA about what's been going on behind the scenes. You know what I mean?
It might, but the thing is, you got to remember, Arika, she's done a little playing already, isn't it? That's the man they call Stan.
The man?
Yeah. She's done a little business with a man called Stan. You know, she's really, it's not new to Arika.
That's what we're saying, she had her own reputation and
stuff.
Yeah,
it's not new to Arika. Like
I think that's why it got so much publicity in the first place, because of who she was.
I don't even know why they went on about it. Like I said, Arika come in like Baby Johnson. Baby Johnson's powder. And you know what you do with Baby Johnson's powder.
Yeah. Gosh. Okay. Moving on swiftly to the next topic.
Yeah, but we move on now because
yeah. But you know, I mean, yeah, joking apart, yeah, we just kinda like just wish all the best for Sim.
Yeah, and, do wish him well, Sim,
and his family, you know. And I'm sure if he was with us right now, he'd be rolling with the guys, you know what I mean? And we'd just be having fun out there. Yeah. You know? Keeping it real. Jermaine Jenness is unfortunately in the spotlight. Yeah, faces allegations of inappropriate behaviour. Apparently, enough women have come forward and complained about the former player. The one showing the Match of the Day presenter has been removed. Yeah, from his slot. You know, apparently it was Texas what he sent these kind of people, but. You know, yeah, there's no kind of like smoke without fire. I get that, but you know, I think it was the way that they got dismissed. They tried to make it kind of hush hush. So that tells me that it's kind of unsafe. There's something unsafe about this. You know what I mean? Because like, yeah, been sending texts. You can't just send texts and you know you must get something back. You know. Yes, please, no, thank you. You know what I mean? So, you know, it's like, Jenness is saying that, do you know what?
There's two sides to a story.
I'm going to chat to my lawyer about this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And quite rightly so. Because he's very angry about the situation.
Yeah, I can understand that. Yeah. You got to remember, my man is on Talk Sport, who have also said,
sorry.
He ain't working on this.
Yeah. We're saying sorry. Yeah.
He's saying you're not working on it. So he's lost being a presenter on the one. Is it
one
the,
show?
One show.
Match of the day.
Yeah. And then he's and also Talk now Sport Talk Sport. And at the time, he was presenting Talk Sport when the BBC said, "Listen, we sack you." That's what they're saying. They sacked him while he was on Talk Sport. But as he quite rightly said when they was interviewing him and saying, you know, is it right that this is... And his answers were, I can't really talk right now. I can't really answer that.
It's true.
Right? And there's two sides to a story.
Definitely. So,
but at the end of the day, why would you want to answer these things? I mean, it's always the same, isn't it? Something comes out, then you get all these women jumping on the bandwagon saying this, that and the other. I mean, if a man's making a move on a woman, of course you're going to have some kind of banter going on. And like you just said, Oogie, you don't know what kind of message he was getting in on. I mean, were these women leading on for him to say certain things and now they're going to use it against him? But what I don't agree with, like, when you have no solid proof that something's gone on and you go and sack a man, I don't agree with that. Because what if it comes out now and said it was just hoorah, who shot John business kind of thing and there's no truth to it? What are you going to do for the guy then?
I think, though, they're saying that the proof of the Texas, that is the proof. I think that's what they're saying.
Yeah, they're saying that it's digital communication.
Yeah, that's what they're saying.
At the highest order.
Yeah, so they're saying that, you know, we've seen...
What was the woman saying to him?
Well
that's another question.
If it all comes out, which, like I said, Jermaine right now is a very unhappy guy, and solicitors are on it. And because he's like we've said, you know, one show, Match of the Day, Talk Sport, you know, they've kind of just took the carpet right under his feet.
That's right.
And said, you know what, Jay, we don't want you here.
That's right.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. If he's led the way, then maybe that's it. If he's been leading the way, and stuff, saying what he's saying.
Feel for that, because I just want to sort of compare, contrast. Now people might say, but it's a different situation, but still our people get kind of treated different. When Lineker was going through his things,
alright,
he wasn't sending no texts to any gal, right? But Lineker were just kind of like jumping on. He made a tweet when they were talking about the like immigration and stuff, asylum seekers.
Yeah, I remember that.
And Lineker were just saying, wow, that's a bit kind of like steep what they're trying to do, because one of the kind of the foreign secretary at the time, she said, we have to stop the boats coming in. And right. Lineker said, wow, that's kind of extreme, that kind of action.
Is it that Brabham or something?
The name just begin with S.
Yeah,
it's not Sarah. But
Swallow, some other belt, some other.
Anyway, Lineker were just kind of like talking out, and they were saying, you know, wow, just keep them comments and that. And, you know, it got a bit heated up, and, you know, bosses got involved, and Lineker had to take a back seat. And
the government got involved.
Well, not only that, but commentators and presenters were just saying, you know, if you sack him.
Yeah.
They actually did walk out, didn't they?
They did.
The match of the day was, what, 20 minutes?
Yeah. Just highlights. Highlights.
Nobody talking or anything.
That's right.
I mean, if they did have knocked on this door, us three would have just had a job instantly. You know what I mean? Because we could have dropped some comments on the games and that. You know what I mean? I feel kind of confident that I could have stepped in.
Yeah,
you know,
you've got you on that. Yeah.
Yeah, man.
But you got to back the man, don't you?
Lineker.
Yeah, you got to back him, aren't you? Because he's talking about immigration and all them kind of things. And we all know what's been happening in the last couple of weeks about the immigration.
I suppose the point I'm making is that, is Lineker untouchable?
Yeah, actually.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So
when it comes to football and what he's doing there,
you know, like I said, they suspended him for a short while.
Yeah, and just remember, I'm sorry to cut you.
Yeah, man.
They suspended him.
Yeah.
But he was also on the other station on BT. So they cut him on BBC, right? But he was on BT doing his little thing.
Well, he can do that because he's freelance, isn't it?
Freelance can
operate where he wants, whoever will have him.
You see, what it is for me, when it comes like to the BBC and all that, and you work for the BBC, you're not allowed to have an opinion on certain everyday lives and things. You've got to keep out to that kind of thing. But what Lineker said, it wasn't anything bad, and it wasn't anything what other people were thinking. I mean, trying to make an example of a man with his category, that's why everybody come out and stood with him, because they know what he was saying. He wasn't saying anything bad, and he was just making a comment on what she said. But it's because he worked for the BBC, because like I said, the government started getting involved, because there was that argument that the government should keep out of the sport and on BBC. Why are you getting involved? But everybody piled on him, but they didn't expect him to get the backing what he got.
I mean, yeah, there was all on his side, you know, and he must have thought, yeah. Now, if you're talking about power, then that is it. That is it, right in your face. You know what I mean? So, yeah, it was just like I said, just like, you know, how one person can command a whole heap of power. All right, like I said, Lineker wasn't sending texts and stuff, but he was tweeting. You know, they may not have been sexual or, you know, but it's just how one guy can get suspended, and his boss would have said, listen, you're just going to have to take five. Just take five, stay in the background. When things cool off, then we'll bring you back. You know what I mean? And, yeah, that was just like a little break for Lineker. Like, he probably might have just chipped away abroad or something, gone on holiday for a few days. Because he can do that. And then you get a guy like Jermaine. It's like, where's his support? Do you know what I mean? It's like, okay, you haven't said it on our show, but we're going to pull the cord anyway. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
You know, and it just seems like a bit, for me, that seems kind of brutal.
Yeah, I think basically one says one and the other one says, we're going to do it as well. Too. Yeah, we're going to do it as well.
Mm.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, so, we've got an upset Jermaine Ginnis. Do you think we'll ever see him on our stations again?
Yeah, I think so. Because just remember, he's got, I don't know, you might see him on BBC and whatever, but you'll certainly see him on TNT.
Mm.
You'll certainly see him on stations like that.
At the end of the day, even if the BBC don't want him, there's plenty of people that will take him up.
You just said it.
True. You know what I mean? He's still going to have options.
Yeah,
and especially if he comes out of this with clean hands and everything.
He's freelance.
He'll be all right.
So he's freelance, so he can, you know, he'll be able to pick up somewhere else.
Mm. Wow, issues and tribulation and that. From out of one story into another one, Gareth Southgate, didn't take him long to jump into a job, believe it or not. And he's going to be a technical observer.
Yeah, for the FA.
For the UEFA.
UEFA, yeah. Yeah. Him and
David Moyes is joining him. Right. Do you know what I mean? And I'd like to know kind of like what qualifications, what kind of interview did he have for that post? You know what I mean? Because observing, we can do that.
What's he observing? Obviously, other what exactly is the job going to be when it's a technical observer?
He's going to go to various matches, look at how they play, look at the structure, look at the organisation, and then he's going to report back to UEFA.
Yeah, with him notepad and pen.
That's what he's going to do. That's the job.
Just going to be eating kind of like meat and potato pie. And chips at half time.
Yeah, I don't believe he'll be doing that. I believe he'll be in what I would call in the VIP
room. A bit and upgrade.
So basically,
like still yummy meat and potato pie.
That is what he's going to be doing.
Just better steak, isn't
it? That's what he'll be doing. So.
You know, isn't it amazing how people just get handed jobs, though? You know, he's just 2 minutes out of the England job. And obviously, I know you mentioned the FA, but the FA will be a part of that somehow. Somebody would have made a phone call or whatever. Or somebody might have said, you know, Gareth, I tell you what, you've done England today. And within a month, this is your position. Southgate must have said, what do you mean? Technical observation. You know what I mean? Just watching. Mm. People watch.
So when you say he's watching, is he going around England watching the England
the Champions League? It's like a new structure what they've got, you know. So it'll be just like assessing, like CV says, assessing games, tactics, and stuff, and reporting back. You know, could this be done better or whatever?
So and basically, now the FA wants to get into other people's business now and stuff.
I think they're in there anyway.
They're in there, but now they want to have a better hand. But you see, at the end of the day now with Southgate, let's be honest, he did all right for England. No matter what we said about it never came home and whatever. But for me, he did all right for England. The players and that respected him. So at the end of the day, they had to find him something.
The fans never respected him. Got them chew a beer upon him.
Yeah, I saw that in the tournament this year. But the fans just went on with...
They were vexed because of the way they were played. You know what I mean?
You know what I mean? But they didn't need to treat him that way. But to me, he did all right for England.
As G said, he took them to quite a few. You know, he took them to the final twice. Italy, Spain. Yeah. All right, same result.
Yeah,
they
never
lost.
Come back with nothing.
Yeah, never come back with nothing.
Yeah.
Lost.
Empty. Empty.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
On that seat at the
barrel.
And empty. Then he got World Cup near there.
Yeah,
did
all right.
Again,
did all right.
Didn't achieve anything, didn't win anything.
And that's why they wanted him gone, innit?
Like they said, he's probably achieved one of the best since Sir Alf Ramsey.
Well, yeah, I forget about Al Ramsey.
I'm not sure what his percentage are, but they're up there. I think they're hiding seven.
He's second to Sir Alf Ramsey. Because Sir Alf, didn't he won the World Cup in 1966.
Have they won it any other time?
England?
Yeah.
Let me think.
Yeah, let's think.
They have
66 and 66.
No, the Lionesses.
The Lionesses.
Okay.
They won the Euros. They won the Euros. They brought it back to this country. They won it. Actually, they won it in this country.
You sound really kind of passionate when you're talking about the Lionesses there.
I do, because I think they are tremendous. I think they do a lot for women's football. I think they show girls that there is a way there for them to go on and be successful. And I look at girls football now and see how it has developed and how some of these girls now are just as what I would class as publicized, if that's a word, that people know them now. You see them on billboards now.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think they've been tremendous, but they just, I believe, don't get the same say. You still hear them saying, oh, England, we nearly got it. We nearly brought it home and whatever. They brought it home. It's been brought home. It really just annoys me when I hear them saying, well, if England had beaten Spain, they'd have won, they'd have given us all a holiday. Well, why didn't we get a holiday when the Lionesses actually brought it home?
Yeah, that's a good point. That, I mean,
we're trying to keep it equal, but
maybe there's people in the FA, big wigs, what I didn't really think of that, because that was a good point. As we were talking about the sexism and that last week, you know, so that was on point, that one. That's a good point, that, Mr. V.
Well, yeah. You know, I'm one of these what always going about women's football, because obviously I was involved in women's football for a long time. So I believe that they should have the same sort of
respect.
Build up and profession. Well, they do have the professionalism, the same sort of letting everybody know how good they are, right? And I sometimes believe that they don't get that same.
It's going to be years gone by before the women's football is going to have the same respect as men's football. Football is a man's game, as far as especially people like in the FA and the older heads are concerned. Yeah. It's a man's game. And like you rightly said, they brought football back home, whatever else. But we're still going on about the guys nearly did this, they nearly did that, nearly comes nowhere. I don't care whether you come second or whatever, it doesn't come anywhere. It's the point is, we won.
Yeah, they still,
but they never got that.
They don't get the same praise. And it's time going back to 1966, but
which England, really means nothing now, does it?
England's achieved something already with the women.
Oh, we should have recognised that.
I remember the women have done what the men have done. The women got to the finals as well and got knocked out by the same country.
Yeah,
by the Spanish, right? That's where we had the guy when he kissed the girl, that woman, right? Yeah, they've done the same thing, but they've gone on and done further. They've won it.
It's true. And like G says, talking about respect. And then I want to kind of discuss Enzo Fernandez again, but it's not for the racist thing. It's like a decision from Maresco. They actually made him captain when they played City last week.
Yeah, I know he did.
I thought to myself, wow, you know, what kind of message is that sending out? You know, I can just imagine Maresco saying, well, actually, you know, he's apologised to his teammates. He's offered to fund a charity, well, make a donation. And that... And you know, also, we're going to give you a tap on the back and say, jolly good show, take that. We're going to make you captain. Now, for me, a captain, again, go back to what G said about having respect. And, you know, it's having that awe about you. You know, can you imagine... what he's been through and also his teammates have been through. And then he's saying, he's looking right at your eye and saying, come on, you need to put this in. You know, what kind of... I mean, yeah, they're in the public domain, so the body language is going to be okay. But there must be a little bit inside them saying, do you know what? how dare you kind of like say that to me, really, when, you know, you're kind of like chatting, you know, racist stuff and homophobic slurs, you know what I mean? And now I'm supposed to be looking up to you as captain. I'm not feeling that, me. I just think that's probably one of the worst decisions a manager could do to a player after the incident. And, you know, we're not really done with it because UEFA has still got him under investigation. So, I tell you what, it almost seems to me that they're just smoothing out things for when UEFA say, listen, we're ready to deal with Enzo now, step forward. And then you've got Marenzo backing him up, saying, do you know what, he's done really well, we're kind of proud of this boy because we've made him captain, you know what I mean? And like I said, I just think that's the wrong message. I want Chelsea to suffer this season, me. That's where I just want them to suffer, you know what I mean? I'm just not feeling that at all.
Yeah, I hear that. I've heard that from the past couple of weeks from you, that you're not too happy about Enzo.
Nah.
I've heard. I feel the fire. You know, the fire coming from you. I feel it, that you're definitely not happy about Enzo. And I can understand that as well, because like you said, what message does it send out that you're with your colleagues them, and you're saying all different kind of things, and then you've got about the French team, and in the team that you play for, you've got three black players from that same French team, and your manager is saying, right, well, it's all right.
Mm.
He's the captain. I mean, if I'm one of them man, I'd be thinking, eh? Nah, I don't really check for that.
Yeah.
I don't really check for that. You're calling my peoples them and running joke about my peoples. And then you're a captain as well.
Yeah.
Nah.
Listen, yeah. Jed. Listen. When it comes to the racism card now, right? My opinion again, but I believe some kind of right on this. When it comes to racism now, for we as black men and whatever else, it's always kind of hush-hush. They will always try to push you one side, whatever else. You got the people like the refugees, them coming into the country and stuff like, there's more stink up about them on racism than what we get. Me as a Chelsea player, if he was in my team, I ain't buttering anything up. I'm in his face and I'm telling him about himself. Me as a player going out, then he's getting all this now. Is he captain just for that match, or is he the captain of the team now?
I think for me, it doesn't matter whether it's for a game or the rest of the season or a period of time. I just think it's just the wrong move.
Of course it is.
You know, and that, you know, Maresco, is just got it for me, is... his kind of ethics are just kind of all wrong, because from the moment it came out, he was back in his mind. He was just saying, look, he's a nice guy. You know what I mean? You know, he hasn't really said anything wrong, human being, and so on and so forth. And he's just trying to squash it up. But somebody above him should be saying, listen, you know, even though you are the manager or the head coach of the team, but there's certain ethics and... you know, we need to kind of like remind you or ourselves that, you know, we don't stand for stuff and we're not kind of like bigging it up. But I don't hear kick it out, kind of like, you know, sort of like on his case and stuff.
There was nothing.
You know what I mean? There's nothing from them guys.
There was nothing.
I think we do more than kick it out. You know what I mean? We kind of like highlight areas what other kind of like sports shows are kind of afraid for kind of like mention. You know what I mean? We'll kind of like seek it out.
Yeah,
we'll seek it out, you know? So Yeah, I hope they get broke up this season, Chelsea.
At the end of the day,
want them to get broke up.
Did the manager talk to the other three black players in the team to see how they felt about it?
I believe some kind of discussions would have happened, to be fair, with you know, all the players of colour and stuff. And, you know, and then before they get Enzo in, this probably happened in, you know, America when they was on tour, or it might have even happened over Zoom. You know, if you've got a manager like Maresco involved, you know what I mean, probably could have happened over Zoom, you know. Or, you know, it's kind of like chimps in a tea party thing, you know what I mean.
At the end of the day, it wasn't dealt with properly. Yeah. And now you're rubbing it in everybody's face. Whatever else, you've
disgusting.
Got one man against whatever else, and it's this one man that they're supporting.
It's disgusting. So, yeah, yeah, I'm not feeling that at all, man. But yeah, so you know, I'm not sure if he's going to be captain again. But you know, I'm got one eye looking at that. Another story, Mr. Ivan Toney. Yeah, I mean, you know, Brentford, again, they're playing a game there. They know that Tony's got 1 year left on his contract. And they're actually literally saying to the Saudi, we've got a player here. Come and put some dollars on the table. Because Man U are saying, we're not interested in. We don't want him. Tony is, what, 28? He's a proven scorer. But the money's what Brentford won. I don't think teams are looking to take a punt, or maybe the last day of the transfer window, that's probably when the phone starts ringing, you know. But I mean, for me, I've heard that his representatives are in Saudi. They're chatting to Al Halfi, and you know, I think my message to Tony, because we know that he's been a little bit naughty off the field in the probably William Hill and stuff like that, betting and stuff, and he served his 8 month ban. He also got $50,000 fine. I just think that if he's gonna represent himself in the best version as possible, because he needs to behave himself if he goes to Saudi, or he's gonna be expecting something like 250 lashes. They're lash out there. You know what I mean? They've got a different format out there, and they'll probably fine him about 80,000 real, which is, you know, equivalent to 80 grand in our cash. You know, that's just the currency over there. So, you know, that's my message to Tony. Yeah, I kind of, you know, good player, top end of the pitch, dangerous, you know? But, yeah, if he goes to Saudi, he's going to have to kind of like, he's going to have to manage his behaviour.
I think he can do that, no problem, at the end of the day. But like I said the other week when we're talking about boxing and all these things, the Saudis are in it now. And it's by what you guys are saying here now, it looks like all these other teams with the players, certain players, they're looking to Saudi now to buy these players and whatever else. If the offer comes up, and obviously the Saudis would make a good offer to him, I think he'll take it. And like, again, why shouldn't you? When you're coming to certain ages now, you think more about the finance than your career.
I mean, it might not have no choice.
There's that as well.
Because, I mean, it doesn't have to leave Brentford, but obviously they're looking at the cash, isn't it? Because, like, I think clubs kind of, like, get a little bit digi when players are coming to the end of the contract, especially if they've got like a price on their head. The club won the most amount of money for the player. And yeah, it's that's the business side of it. We saw the issues with Sheffield United with Sanders. You know, it was like, do you know what? These guys can go free. You know, a club will not want an asset leave for nothing. So they're looking to cash in best they can. And that's why he was admitted from their squad. Again, I don't know if he's going to be in at the weekend or he's going to go over to Saudi and sign up for their pro league over there. But, you know, again, that should be an interesting one. I mean, 28, still got time, isn't it? Still got time on his...
I,
I would say he has got time. And to be fair, Ivan Toney, he's not been given the credit, I think, but he's a top-class goal scorer. He will do well in any Premiership side. I mean, you've got, as you say about Man United, they don't want him or whatever. They don't want him. I mean, who are you talking about? Holland? Is that what I'm about? That young boy called, is it Holland? They call him? I mean, you put him and Ivan Toney together, Ivan Toney is killing him. He's killing him with goal, right? And then you've got other teams, right? Like I would say you could even say Arsenal. If they were to get Ivan Toney, then you're looking at, yeah, you've got somebody who knows where the goal is and will put the chances away. They would then be, I would then put them, yeah, on the same front as City them. So really, I don't know. Unless he really wants the money to go to Saudi, because they, I think they're offering him 14 million a year.
I mean, what is he worth? I mean, on some social media platforms, they're saying 75 to 80 mil. Now, you know, 28, 1 year left on his contract. They're not going to be queuing up, are they, really, to kind of sign him? That is a lot of money for a player with 1 year left on his contract.
Yeah, it is.
It's a hell of a lot of money.
It is.
And then what clubs might be thinking, if he doesn't go to Saudi, they might be thinking, do you know what? Let him run down his contract.
At Brentford.
And we'll pick him up for free. We'll pick him up the following season.
That's right.
You know, so and they can sign a pre-contract agreement.
And just pay him his wages then?
Yeah. Really? So there's more ways. It's like, why shell out 75 mil or 80 mil when if you just wall on a little bit, a season or less, and then just test him out then?
Well, yeah, and I agree
makes
with that.
Makes sense,
yeah.
Don't it?
Yeah, I agree, 100%. Because we did that with Haaland. Haaland, we got for 50-odd million. Well, they waited until his contract had done, and they got him. Because before that, I believe, they were looking at 100-odd million for him. So they said, you know what, we'll leave it this season. We're not bothered to go for him this season, right? We'll go for him afterwards. And then they did, and they got him for... Even now, people said, they can't believe how City got him for 50-odd million.
Sounds like that could be the way forward with quite a few players. Let the contract run out and then pick them up for next to nothing.
It is, you know. I mean, it was that was what was happening at the Lane, innit? Them players there, some of them, in fact, a lot of them, were just running down their contracts and then thinking, do you know what? It's like I'm in a no-lose kind of like situation here. I can't lose because the club want me. I've got a contract deal on the table. But then the door will open for other clubs when my contract actually expires.
Mm, so and you've got a choice,
they're picking
tonight,
and choose. It's like being in a sweet shop in a candy store, isn't it? As a youth, isn't it?
Yeah,
what shall I get? Shall I get
midget
gems? Shall I get them black currant licorice? You know what I mean?
Strawberry bonbons, yeah, I do with you.
Yes, I am. Yeah. And them West Indian limes. You know what I mean? I'll throw that in there too. Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah. I remember them Kojak pops and all them lollipop. Yeah. So there. I mean, boy, look at the time, man. It's kind of like we've got about a minute here for the show.
I know.
And it goes so quick.
I can't believe that. Yeah, I even mentioned what do they call him now? Is it when Wednesday?
Leeds United.
And they play Leeds Leeds tonight.
Is it at Hillsborough?
It's at Hillsborough, because the only reason why I brought that up is because I'm sure somebody said about winning 5 games in a row or something, right?
Definitely,
But
that gets spoiled, innit?
It did get spoiled because they got 4 goals in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Am I right?
Yeah, I think the Sunderland manager just stuck that in the changing rooms and said, you know, let's spoil the party. They want 5 wins in a trot. We're gonna show them. We're gonna teach them some manners. Yeah, Wednesday just had to eat their dinner. You hear that, Mo?
Yeah, yeah. I saw Wednesday afternoon. Yum your dinner, man. You
that's
know what I mean?
Right, that's yeah, right.
Yeah.
Because
eat your dinner.
And I never heard anything from that gentleman.
Yeah.
Yeah, he sent a little message, a little kicky, and that was
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah,
sorry, Mo. Sorry. I never heard. Yeah.